Good evening. Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday, May 20th. I am Marianne Petrillo, CEO of West Business Development Center. And tonight, you are listening to the first of a six-part series, along with KZYX, on how the pandemic has forced us all to reassess and rethink our behaviors and our patterns of consumption, and how might those changes in turn impact our economy. We are calling this the New Normal Radio Hour, and we hope you will join us every other Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. So what is normal these days, and where are we really headed? Nobody really knows. What adjustments do we need to make to thrive in this new business environment are just some of the questions weighing heavily on the minds of both the public and private sector. We see this play out each day across our county and across our country as government leaders are trying to do that delicate balance between healthcare directives that are sometimes in direct opposition to business needs. In the county of Mendocino, where over 82% are small businesses with five or fewer employees, a great deal is at stake. It's at stake not only for the private sector and their revenues, but also for the public sector and their revenues. So tonight, our guests are very steeped in this debate, day in and day out since shelter-in-place orders went down. We are joined today with both Supervisor Ted Williams from District 5 and Supervisor Dan Jurdy from District 4. So let me welcome both of you, and we will get started on our conversation. As the state of California moves into stage two of business reopening, I would love for each of you to describe a little bit about your districts and what you see them facing in general these days.
Well, this is Ted Williams. Good evening, Mendocino County. My district is spans from the coast, touches Sonoma County's line, and all the way over to Hopland. It's an enormous landmass, but I think, like all five supervisors, in the context of COVID and what's happening, I see myself as a county supervisor. These are not district problems; it's a countywide issue. And I think we have all five hands trying to help steer towards that balance of supporting a local economy that's under immense pressure with the shelter in place and preserving lives.
Thank you. Dan, do you want to give a little bit of an insight? You have a rather large city in your district that you oversee. How are things there?
Yeah, well, like much of Ted's district, his district, the 5th district, is the coast and spreads inland quite a bit. It covers a lot of territory. The 4th district, my district, starts at Russian Gulch and goes to Whale Gulch up in the Humboldt County line up the coast, the northern part of the coast. So it's much more coast-based. It's got includes Leggett and Piercy, also in inland areas. The coast, I think, as a whole is impacted in some ways more dramatically than the county as a whole. And that's because tourism statewide has been completely shut down. And so it's not allowed to go to a lodging if it's for just for travel, for tourism, only for essential travel, for essential business. So the coast is, again, I think it is more heavily impacted by the state health orders. But the entire county is really struggling with how do we get our way out of this economic mess. And I hope we can talk about some of the steps that are underway right now during the next hour.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also in your district, I mean, you do have Fort Bragg there, which is there, you know, a rather large city for our county. And so even though that is a city that does have some local engagement and commerce, I would imagine it is still heavily impacted by the lack of tourism or the ability for hospitality and tourism to happen. Is that true?
Well, yeah, because up and down the whole coast, the restaurants are dependent on the visitors coming into the county. So it's not just the lodgings that are without income. It's the restaurants are heavily impacted. So the city of Fort Bragg's budget is being cut pretty dramatically by the way this is affected statewide.
I think we're about to look at the same sort of dilemma that we think it's a coast issue, but when you look at the bed tax being almost zero and sales tax plummeting, we've essentially told our customers to stay home. That affects the entire county, right? We're talking millions of dollars of revenue already lost and more to come as we stay in this crippled state.
And I understand some data has been collected recently with the economic injury data, and I think each of you might have also been polling folks. Do we have any numbers on that?
Ted, you conducted a survey online, and Marion, I think you're really probably the best position to talk about the survey that West Company conducted.
Right. The economic injury survey itself was about 400 respondents?
I think it was 409. Right. And I think what it found was about 57 employees have been permanently laid off. Mm-hmm. 28% of the businesses have applied for the PPP. 37% applied for the EIDL. These are loans to carry businesses through. A lot of businesses struggled to get those loans. Some were at credit unions doing the right thing, putting their money in a local institution that could invest in the community. They found they weren't eligible. They tried switching to some of the larger, I would say, corrupt banks, and those banks wouldn't take their business. And then the program ran out of funds. And so their numbers don't just reflect how many businesses tried to participate. It's how many actually, it's how many applied. It's not how many have actually benefited. And then the highest concentration of responses were from the town of Mendocino, the cities of Ukiah and Fort Bragg. 72% of the respondents said that they did not plan to close if the shelter could be lifted within the next 60 days. 69% said that they will close permanently if the shelter in place goes beyond 6 months. And of course, we're in this, as supervisors, we're in an awkward position. We don't have a lot of control of the shelter in place. We're dealing with a state order where we can't be less restrictive than the state. We've seen a couple other rural counties decide to go rogue and move ahead of the state. And I think the message we saw should cause some hesitation. The disaster recovery could be limited because they're essentially declaring there isn't an emergency. And my read is the state won't allow it. And we're at pleading with the state for assistance in every regard. For example, the testing that just came through. And so we need that relationship to continue, and we do need to operate within our authority. But it's tough because we recognize if we don't allow businesses to begin opening up, we're going to lose our tourist season. And those businesses may not be able to make it up and stay afloat through the winter.
And one thing we've seen with this is on so many levels, the terrain keeps changing. So as Ted described, many local business owners had personal checking accounts at the credit union or their bank, and they didn't have a business checking account, a business relationship with a bank that was eligible to apply for the Paycheck Protection essentially their grants, their loans that are forgivable. But here's a little bit of good news. About Tuesday of last week, Savings Bank announced that even if you were not a Savings Bank customer, they would begin processing these Paycheck Protection Grant applications for local businesses. So, it's news like that when it changes that we try to get the word out. We've been putting Facebook posts, et cetera, trying to get the word out because it obviously is at times hopeless, it may seem, to businesses, but if there's any change that improves the situation, it's incumbent on us to try to get the word out so people can take advantage of the situation as it changes.
I'm going to remove my host hat for a second and put on my West Center hat, if that's okay, and just explain to our audience, too, a little bit about some of these loans. We have been talking about them and living them and breathing them night and day, but the EIDL loan is the SBA loan that is coming straight from the federal government. This is for economic injury disaster loan. They opened that probably late in March, and millions, as you can imagine, millions of businesses have applied for that loan. To date, no one that we are aware of in the county has actually received the full loan, only the advance. A few people have received advance. The PPP loan that supervisors referred to just now was the Paycheck Protection Program. And as stated, this can only be applied for through a lending institution. Thankfully, we have some wonderful banks in our county and that are very community-minded and have helped our small businesses. Those loans, some are we're seeing now are coming through to the businesses. However, the challenge for the PPP loans is the 8 weeks of paycheck forgiveness. It's a very complicated and complex process to ensure that you remain compliant so that the loan can be forgiven. Fortunately, at West, and West is a small business administration host, so we are trained on those things. That's how we know a lot of the stuff that is coming out from SBA. But to both supervisors' points, this is an amazingly fluid and changing situation. So they are dealing with things at a county level, but at a federal level, even these loans and the forgiveness models that apply to them could change from day to day and moment to moment. So I'm putting my host hat back on now, and let me say to both supervisors, how do you manage that fluidness? Like, how are you staying on top of some of these changes that are happening ever so rapidly? And I think, Ted, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, that this is a countywide issue. You're, as much as your district representatives, you're working now as a five-person band. How do you address the changes that are happening so rapidly?
We're both silent. So, I mean, to give you to follow that point, you know, we learned about the testing requirement that would be necessary to in order to open up under the phase 2+, and then we learned that we would need 90 tests per day, and we scrambled to figure out how to pull that off. And then a day or two went by, and it became 135. It's been a moving target the whole time. Some of the guidance that comes down from the state doesn't match what we hear in the state's press conference. And so we're left in a vulnerable position where we've told the public what our expectation is, and then it doesn't quite come to fruition. Or, you know, we promise certain type of business will be able to open, and we find, well, actually it won't, because the state language as it becomes available wasn't quite what we expected. It's I found it to be a struggle of maintaining transparency, putting out as much information as we know, but not putting out so much that we're going to be wrong. And it's not always a perfect process. There are instances where I've even said, we think this will be allowed next week, and we find out, nope, it actually won't. But the other side of that is, if we don't give guidance, it leaves businesses in a really dangerous position of expecting they may be able to open in a couple weeks, when in fact we know probably not until the end of summer. I'd say it's a balance, and I know all five supervisors are, you know, trying to make good faith statements based on a massive information that's flowing in, and hope the public gives us some forgiveness when we are wrong.
And I could just give a specific example that just happened recently. The health officer wanted to allow in this revised health order for in-county residents to stay at lodging. So let's say there's someone who is a doctor in Ukiah and wants to come on vacation for a weekend on the coast. She wanted to allow for that, and had in a chart what she intended to propose. And I thought that was part of the package. And I just found out a few moments ago before we went on the air that the state late-breaking rules wouldn't allow for that. And so it's not, that particular item isn't in the proposed limited reopening that was submitted by the county to go into effect, hopefully by this weekend. But the latest information we have is it was submitted Tuesday night. The county has answered quite a few questions asked by the state about the county's attestation safety plan. And the expectation and hope is that the state will approve it by Thursday or Friday, and businesses can prepare to open if all goes well on Saturday. So an example of that would be retail stores that are now allowed to have curbside sales as soon as Saturday could have their stores open to in-store shopping.
So let's talk a little bit about that, about the ad hoc committee and the work that we've all been doing around that, because this has been a process. I think we first started the conversation on, I think it was like April 13th, when the ad hoc committee was formed, and many, many meetings with many, many folks have occurred. Do you want to give a brief overview of the work that's being done or that led up to it?
Well, the board, I mean, we've wanted to be as involved as we can be in this whole process. We don't get to write, as Ted said, we don't get to write the health orders, but we wanted to help businesses get their information to the health officer who's writing these orders so that she can make the best possible decisions. And so the board created an ad hoc committee of Supervisor Williams and myself. And, we were grateful that West Company was able to step up and provide the staffing to it because of your relationship with businesses. And you've convened, along with Ted and I, quite a few meetings with different groups throughout the county, from different business sectors and different geographic areas. And Ted, do you want to kind of explain some of the work product?
Yeah, I mean, I think our public health officer doesn't have firsthand awareness of all of the types of businesses that occur throughout the county. And so there's been a lot of value in distilling patterns that we have as supervisors with local knowledge, whether that's how charter boats might accommodate need or, example is it sounds ridiculous that we're allowing house calls for hairstylists and not salons to be open, where practices would arguably be safer. There's more controls. But it's because of this nature of not being able to be less restrictive than the state. And the state has said salons are not to open. Actually, the first case in California, I believe, was at a nail salon. And they've been pretty firm about that. They haven't said we can't allow house calls. And so that was a workaround, hoping that we could bring in some revenue. And Supervisor Jurdy and I and lodging industry and West have talked about ways to throttle tourism. If we can't allow the sort of light switch to go on, is there a way to bring in some at a safe rate at the right time to generate some revenue before we can go back to full normal? And I think those ideas are still being kicked around. But this has been the vehicle to have the discussions to show that, in an urban environment, opening retail is a big deal. You're putting those businesses back into a break-even or profitable position. Mm-hmm. But you open retail on our coast without customers because you don't allow lodging. Those retail businesses technically are open, but they may not be open in the sense of being sustainable. And we've been able to bring that information back to the health officer, who really has limited time. A lot of people have asked me for her cell number, for her email. She's maxed out. I mean, she was working 70 hours plus. And when you look at the health order, you think, well, this is kind of a copy and paste of the Bay Area with some changes. Why would it take so much time? You don't see all the other elements that go in on a daily basis. And, you know, a case pops up and the contact tracing and, you know, managing how that happens and working with facilities to make sure that they're scaling up. And there's a lot more behind the scenes. And, you know, supervisors are fortunate to see that and have the awareness. The public doesn't quite have that transparency yet. We're working on ways to explain more of the preparation and day-to-day operations that have been going on. Dan?
Yeah, I would just add that an example of the feedback that we were able to give the full board to the health officer was after the first two health orders, it was clear. And it made sense. She was looking very closely at the Bay Area health orders. And of course, we're seeing that. And we saw that the Bay Area was shutting down construction jobs. And I think we all kind of know how construction here is very different than the Bay Area. And the Bay Area might have, a couple hundred construction workers all building a whole neighborhood, a whole subdivision all at once. Here it's probably 3-4 people, sort of the stable workforce to build a single house at a time, with maybe a few people cycling in throughout the build of that house. And so, you know, with that local knowledge, and I'll just point out that all five supervisors on the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors for the last 2 years were born in Mendocino County. I'm not saying that makes us better, but we do know the county pretty well. And so we conveyed that information to the health officer. And I think, you know, she listened to it, and she did not shut down construction, even though the Bay Area was doing that.
I think where we've made a difference, people recognize it. Businesses that have been forced to shut, it's a difficult position because there's, you know, what they want is their customers back. They need their revenue. Some of them have life savings at risk. And, you know, if we talk about ideas like, how about we build a website and try to bring you online? Yeah, that's great, but they're looking at the bottom line. They're just trying to survive, and we appreciate that. It's a terrible situation on both sides, and we don't have all the answers. What we're trying to do is move forward as quick as possible to get as many businesses as possible operating.
And on that note, for the amount of information that a business owner has to be absorbing now. As I mentioned earlier, the loans themselves are an enormous challenge. The fear that all of them are under right now and the panic of not having the revenue. And then you add on top of all these other things, having to decipher and ascertain health directives that are state, county, region, industry. It becomes a Herculean effort, I think, on the part of a business owner to be able to process that information. I do believe that that's one of the reasons why Dr. Doom was so grateful that we did convene some of these roundtables, that we did have informal groups, that when she was thinking on a particular topic or an industry, we brought together chamber folks or anybody who we knew who could lend information to her so that it could help her ascertain quickly what the need of the business community would be. And I was fortunate to watch it firsthand, and I thought she did a pretty remarkable job of processing that information and still staying within the guardrails that she had to stay in for state and reasons.
Well, and that leads right into the new webpage that West, over the last weekend, working with input from businesses, has developed. And maybe you could talk a little bit about how that website will work for business owners.
Sure. So the site that is being referenced here is basically a work plan site that allows businesses to go to one source. I mean, that's our hope anyway, is that it's one source that they could go to see, one and first, what the county requirements are. And as both supervisors have just explained, sometimes that's easier said than done because it shifts so much and so many things rely on it. But there will be the operations protocol document in there. And then what they do is they then look at the worksheets that are designed to help individual industries create their own work plan. So a restaurant is most commonly used, but you can highlight any industry in this. But the work plan, or the worksheet rather, would give an outline. It'd be exactly that. It's a way to think about your industry and how you have to have these seven different segments to help not only your staff and your business adhere to the health directives, but by then self-certifying that you have completed the worksheet and that you have read the protocol plans, the hope is to then have that public-facing document, and it would then begin to also build trust in the consumer. Because don't forget, as much as the businesses are eager to open, as Supervisor Williams mentioned, we also have to have the consumers trust that they can go in and buy the food, buy the books, whatever they need to do to purchase products in a safe environment.
And just to follow up on that, you're in the process of getting input from those different business leaders and business sectors. So I know that just today we've been contacted by the North Bay Realtors Group, who are working with their statewide association to develop standard protocols for someone, you know, working in a real estate office and meeting with a customer in their office or visiting a house site. The wine growers are in the process of developing their standards for a wine tasting room. So that as those different businesses are allowed to open up by the state, those recommended protocols from the industry itself will be listed there for people to read, whether they're a consumer or a business owner in that business sector.
Let me just pause here to reintroduce our show tonight. If you're just tuning in, I'm Mary Ann Petrillo, CEO of West Business Development Center. We are hosting a six-part radio series on the new normal, and discussions over the next shows will focus on how we are reassessing and rethinking our behaviors and our patterns of consumption. Tonight, we have Supervisor Ted Williams, District 5, and Supervisor Dan Jurdy, District 4, talking to us about the delicate balance of respectfully reopening and the needs to also protect the public health. So let me also give you our call-in number, because we will be looking forward to hearing your calls. That number is 707-895-2448.
And we couldn't be hosting this at a better time. We just learned that the California Department of Public Health posted the Mendocino County attestation. And so this is what will allow us to open the next round of phase two.
Late-breaking news, yeah, right here on KZYX. Yes. that's excellent. And I just want everybody to know, so part of this new norm, right, is that we can be on the radio, on our phone, on our iPhone, on our email, and texting people all simultaneously. So thank you for that news. That's great news. Now explain to our audience a little bit about how and what having the state approve the attestation is ultimately going to mean for maybe this weekend, for instance, to businesses.
So I think it means we're going to see a revision to the health order, which, I know a lot of folks read that first one and a handful read the second. And as time has gone on, it's been, looking at the red pencil of what's changed, it's been hard to keep it all in the head. I think even for the people who are working on it. But what I would expect is to see a press release that outlines some of the high level changes that will come. And largely it's what we had in that yellow column, not all of it, the yellow column. Some of those items the state has held back. We don't have authority, but we're going to open up as much as possible. And this puts us on parity with those other counties that you may have seen in the news opening up business.
Yeah, actually, we should mention that, too, about our region. So Humboldt, Sonoma, Napa, we're finding that the work that we have done with this particular portal is also in keeping with how our regional counterparts, what we're trying to do is to build industry leadership to guide and partner with health directives. And that's what you've seen this ad hoc committee foster, is that partnership and relationship. Now, all the website does is just give us a place to now condense and consolidate that information.
Yeah, and just on the timeline again, as Ted said, probably the next thing people will see will be a press release from the county about the revised health orders as described by the county throughout this week, and they would go into effect. The time frame I'm aware of, they would go into effect on Saturday, so that in the headline item there would probably be the retail stores that, again, up until now have only been allowed to have curbside sales, would, as of what we're expecting as of Saturday, we'll be able to have in-store customers. But, you know, following the new protocols that the states provided and the counties posting on the website.
So as far as the website itself goes, I think it would be safe to give the address of being MendocinoCountyBusiness.org, and folks could start to review some of the orders that are on there. We will be making any updates again on Friday, is what I'm hearing. So that's actually a good thing, and we would want to encourage people to continue to look at that site for guidance and a better understanding about what is needed for each industry. Are there any calls at this time? Okay. And I just want to repeat the number for any call-ins. That's 707-895-2448. So, Dan, let me ask you, you know, in terms of, you know, you've been on the Board of Supervisors now for a while and quite some time, and like all of us, none of us expected what we're going through with COVID and the changes in the global pandemic. I think it has all of us still reeling, you know, trying to keep track of each day as it passes and what's going on. But from a county perspective, I mean, what do you see are going to be maybe some of the changes that have come about from this? And, you know, these could be positive changes too. Are you feeling any sense about that now, or is it still feeling a little bit like dark days ahead?
Well, so there's, when we talk about the county, there's the county government and then there's the people of the county. So they're two different things, but we could talk about both. I think everybody's learning to use Zoom more than we ever did in the past. Maybe not Ted. He's done a lot of internet meetings more than just about anybody else in the county, probably. But we're all doing that more than we did in the past, and I think that's a good thing. I think you know, we don't need to hop in a car and you know, go drive across the county for one meeting. And I think people are also learning how to do more in terms of working from home. I think that trend's already been there, but I think it's going to accelerate that. And from what I've read is that every time there's a recession, and that's also what we have, it accelerates change in the economy. And so you can see how this is going to probably accelerate the change that we've seen, where people have been working from home more and more and less in offices. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe the office of the future, even for government, might look more like, you know, what we sort of imagine as the Google office, where or the co-work space, where you kind of have maybe some space that's yours, but most of the space is shared with other workers who are in the office 2 days a week or 2 days a month. And then you have less overhead for office space because your workers have the flexibility and freedom to work at home much of the time. And, you know, maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing if county government had fewer office buildings, but the work was still being accomplished and we had less money spent on buildings and energy bills and spent our money on services. So that's one change I think is probably being accelerated by this recession and for private businesses and even for government.
Excellent. Excellent. I think we have a call. Do you want to put that through? Hello, caller.
Hi there. Yeah, thank you for the great show. Yeah, I'm just curious if, you know, you guys are kind of touching on right now, got me thinking. The Climate Change Action Committee for the county, or I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it or misstating it, but whatever that group was that got set up, how, you know, we can kind of, you know, seize this situation that things have just kind of really slowed down. We're seeing carbon footprints coming down. We're seeing, like you guys were mentioning with Zoom and working out of home. I'm curious if the county has taken any serious steps to address how we might be able to come out of this, not on the same trajectory we were headed prior to this pandemic with climate change being an issue and resources and such, but how can we kind of become stronger coming out of this? So I'll take my answer off here and thank you for the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. Excellent question.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about, we could talk a little bit about also what was taking place before the pandemic. I mean, we were already, and TED's membership on the board really helped with this, pushing and pleading with county staff to get more permits online so people don't have to get in the car to drive to Ukiah or Fort Bragg to get relatively simple building permits. And so that was already underway, but I do hope that this is going to accelerate that as people see that, you know, more can be done online. It doesn't have to be done at the counter. What do you have to, I'm sure you have something to add to that, Chad.
It's like we're hitting the year 2000 in Mendocino County. And we're a little bit behind, but it's good that it's happening. And I've been pleased by how much support. I mean, last year, not all the work has been carried out, but there was a lot of direction given about modernizing. And I don't know how Dan's handling the remote office aspect, but to give you an example, the email solution that our county has, I can use on my phone, or which, you know, by the end of the day, my thumbs are so tired. And if you get a short response from me, it's because I'm thumbing it out. Or I can use webmail, but webmail, as I'm writing an email, closes out, just like times out, and I lose it. And I'm always copying and pasting somewhere else and texting myself so that I can respond and then copy and paste it. The infrastructure this county has is really antiquated. And it's amazing that our information services team, without a budget, has been able to hold it together. In many cases, literally with duct tape. It's incredible the stuff they do without money. But it's time to modernize. And, you know, those of your audience, it's, you may have something like Gmail. I mean, that's light years ahead of what the county is using. And so coming up to speed on modern tools has potential to benefit the carbon footprint of this county, save staff time. I mean, I can tell you I've been working dark to dark. I know all the supervisors have. Staff has been working crazy hours. But it feels like less than when I was driving to Ukiah. That 3-hour round trip, which incidentally, I would schedule meetings either on the way or the way back, knowing, okay, I can make it from Mendocino to Boonville. I can pull off and I can do a 30-minute phone meeting. I can make it over 253. I can pull off and I can do another, right? Because the infrastructure in this county is so spotty. Being home, I'm available 24 hours a day. I don't have to worry about those dead spots, you know, when I can't schedule a meeting because of the car time. And I think this may be a model that allows us to overall be more productive if we're able to carry it through after COVID. That's one of the few positives. Mostly, this isn't a positive experience. This is like the PSPS or a fire, only you wake up the next day and it isn't any better. You have even worse news. And what we're hearing is, okay, we may end of summer be starting to get back to normal. We may also be getting a surge of cases. And the restrictions are not headed in just in one direction. It's not from where we are now to less and less restricted. If we get enough cases and healthcare becomes overwhelmed, we're going back into more restrictions. And so that's the beauty of the solution of involving the industry to ask, if this is the new normal, how are you going to make it safe? Because it's that safety is what allows us all to continue opening up.
And if this is the new normal, too, how do we ensure that we get better technology for the county's residents as well as for county government because there are these different changes and different approaches? I think we have another call. Is that true?
Okay. Yes.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm worried about the monster that hasn't quite arrived yet, and that's the Lemming Weekends, the festivals that draw so many people to this county who wouldn't ordinarily come just to take a stroll on a beach, but it's responsible for the margin of survival of many of the small shops and restaurants and certainly the lodging. As somebody who's not a part of the business community, I don't want to see those Lemming Weekends anymore. I want the festivals dropped, and I would like to see the businesses who are dependent upon them helped coming up with different business models. How can the Soups help with that?
Thank you. Thank you for your call. And I think there are some things that are being done. Supervisor Williams or Jurdy, do you want to address?
Well, so maybe just on the first level, in terms of the large gatherings, the indications we have from the state, which do change, but what we've heard is it's extremely unlikely that the state's going to be allowing for the rest of this year, calendar year, any kind of large gatherings. So I think the music festival already canceled. Barbecue and Fort Bragg canceled. I just think we're not going to see large events this calendar year.
And as far as the business models, that is one of the shows that we will have come up in a couple of weeks on this radio program. We are going to be talking about new business models and businesses that are pivoting into different directions. So hopefully we will all as a community be helping our business owners find the right path through this, because things will change and in some cases things may permanently change. So stay tuned. Ted, I wanted to go back to the point about technology and broadband, because I think there has been some movement in that area. And again, looking for some silver linings in a very difficult time. What are some of the things that are happening on that topic?
While the county's been inundated dealing with COVID, an effort with a partner moved forward. We put in a $300 million grant application to the state for a fixed broadband project. This is fiber that would connect from the county line at Sonoma up to the county line with Humboldt, and would cover about 5,700 households, including Yorkville, Covelo, Round Valley, areas in between. We don't know if it'll be successful, but of all times, this is when we should be making a case to the state. If you want us to have kids doing distance learning, if you want to encourage businesses that depend on broadband and telemedicine for people who can't get to urban centers for their healthcare needs. This is the time to do it during COVID. And so we have more hope now. But it comes out to $49,000 per house for bringing in fiber. There's many other areas. People are asking, what about the coast? We're working on a plan for the coast, but there's a lot of hurdles. And the Coastal Act is certainly one of those that drives the cost up. And so that 49 on the coast may end up being more. We're looking at whether Starlink, whether you're for it or against it, these satellites are going to be overhead providing broadband. That may be a link for some people. And the mapping effort that we engaged, we sent out, I call it the best $800 this county has spent, at least in my lifetime. We sent out a paper survey in the property tax bills. And this was a last minute, and it's probably not perfect, but it got us a big stack of data. West Company was instrumental in getting the data entry done during COVID. And today, our GIS team, led by Russell Ford over in Ukiah, was able to plot the data on a county map. And so we now have a county map with developments, essentially where the businesses and where the houses are, with the broadband coverage overlaid. And why this is important is past broadband efforts have been impeded by inaccurate maps at the state and federal level. And we had some good calls with Jared Huffman about this mapping problem and said we thought we could move the needle forward by providing some accurate maps. He agreed. And so we went off and did this work, and we're just days away from being able to present the first draft.
Lots being done. You know, even with everything that's swirling around us in this new crazy time, that's great news, and I'm sure we'll have long-ranging impact. And it's really connecting the dots, I think, for a lot of people, just how important it is for our county's economy to have that connectivity be ubiquitous and affordable for all. I think we have another call in. Caller? You're on the New Normal Radio Hour. Do you have a question? Hello? Oh, I think we lost them. Okay, they might call back. Thank you.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about any assistance that any of us, the three of us, are aware of that is available for businesses. We talked a little bit about the Paycheck Protection Program and how people, even if they're not a savings bank customer, can go to savings bank. At our last board meeting on Tuesday, county staff discussed loans that are at least partially forgivable from the county that will be available. So if people, because I think we all have heard is that even if a business could get a loan, they have to pay it back. So if a business is renting store space and has been shut down or has almost no customers, they're just incurring all this debt with not adequate revenue. And so I think we're all trying to figure out where are those federal dollars that we can all tap into. And again, the program we talked about on Tuesday wasn't specific to COVID, but the board is asking staff to do what they can to make that money available to businesses because of COVID. And potentially they could be structured as mostly forgivable loans. I think that it would be best if it was a bunch of small loans to help out quite a few businesses.
Right. I believe you're talking about the CDBG revolving loan funding. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a little over 300,000 available countywide in that.
Right.
And
so there will be that. And that'll be an excellent one because that can be used for a variety of things. There are some stipulations around that. I know it hasn't come out as a public announcement yet, but it will shortly. And the other thing I would probably have people do is go to the Community Foundation of Mendocino, and they just launched a resiliency, a business resiliency and innovation fund. So I would strongly encourage people to take a look at that. I think we have another call. Okay. Go ahead. Hello, caller.
Hello. Excuse me. I just took a bite of food. Thank you for the program. And I'm wondering if you could speak to, I'm a landlady and I love my tenant, but he got laid off. And I'm wondering, I understood there was some sort of a program that would help out with that situation, because I'm certainly not going to evict him. And I'm wondering if there is a compensation program for landlords or tenants that can help with those people who are laid off and can't afford their rent anymore. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling. I'm going to obviously open it up to our guests, but I will say that tomorrow West is hosting a webinar that is specifically designed for tenant and landlord negotiations, with some ideas for both sides and how they could work together to get through this time. So that will be tomorrow. I think I'll look at the exact time, but you can go on to our website at westcenter.org and check out our webinars. So that will be Thursday at 10 o'clock.
And I would just add, I will be surprised if the state and federal government don't address this in some way, either through a tax write-off or grants or both. You know, I've heard some journalists on a podcast speculate that maybe the state of California, it's cash-strapped like everybody else, but it did a couple of years ago create a real estate transaction fee for the purpose of creating affordable housing. And what we have right now with COVID and a loss of income for many people, even with the increased unemployment benefits, et cetera, yeah, we also have pretty widespread, and including Mendocino County, a prohibition on evicting tenants during the COVID crisis. And that doesn't mean they don't owe the rent, but it means they can't be evicted. Anyway, these journalists were speculating maybe the state, is pure speculation, maybe the state would tap into some of those funds and some sort of settlement payment on some of these rents that would be due that can't be paid otherwise. Maybe pennies on the dollar what the landlord is owed. But it just seems to me that the state and federal government are going to have to deal with it on some level. But there's obviously a lot of risk right now that landlords are incurring during the crisis.
Yeah, take a look at the chart for M0 money supply. I've wondered, is this how a depression starts? Is this how it feels in the beginning? And I hope Dan is right. And you know, all eyes are on the federal government, because that's where the debt can really happen. The state has to have a balanced budget. But you know, it worries me. And you know, we have businesses asking, what do we do? We're on the brink. County doesn't have a good answer. I mean, this county is broke. It's in the red. We're trying to figure out what to cut to break even. And we're working with partners. West has been invaluable throughout, being able to pull off research tasks and helping with details that would take the county much longer. But we're really at the mercy of the state and mostly federal government. And these $1,200 checks aren't going to keep this county afloat. So back to the caller's question about the eviction. You can't evict right now, and that helps the tenant, although the rent is still accruing. They still owe it. And the landlord, some of them have mortgage payments. Hopefully their banks are giving deferment, but they still owe it. We've got a problem.
How much does it impact the county offices for people to, you know, write in, become active, you know, voice not just concerns about the need, but, you know, solutions about ideas that, you know, can we do this or find, you know, is that worthwhile for people to be writing to the Board of Supervisors or calling in or attending board meetings? I mean, these are, I think if another probably maybe silver lining in this, again, I'm always looking for things like that, is there is more transparency, ironically, in many ways, by having this available online. I mean, look, we're able to hear the Supreme Court, you know, and that we never was able to hear before. So should there be, we be encouraging citizens to take action and, you know, be in attendance at these?
Absolutely, but the most valuable input is constructive ideas. I mean, about 3 weeks ago, I tracked how many unique contacts I had in one day, whether Facebook, text message, phone call, what have you, 664. You know, I think we're all talking to a lot of members of our districts. And some of those ideas, you know, one starts, Mr. Williams, you're the worst person ever. And then it goes on. I skimmed it trying to find, are there any constructive ideas? I don't mind the criticism, but what do you think we should do? And then there's others that talk about, well, if restaurants will only have half seating, can we use the sidewalks? Can we get tables outside so that we can have the customer volume to keep our staff employed? That's a great idea. That's one of the powers the county has. At a local level, we can control land use. I think we can make that model work. And so those sort of constructive ideas, you know, don't bring your partisan a national problem to us. We have no power. It's like asking us to open up lodging right now is like asking the Board of Supervisors to direct the military. It's just not in our authority. But if you bring a tangible idea that is within our authority that we haven't thought of, absolutely, let's do it.
So constructive ideas,
Yeah, and I would just add, we definitely don't have authority over the state of our government, but we do have responsive state legislators and a representative in Congress, and they're reaching out to us, I would say, even more than normal, with invites to Zoom meetings with them or phone calls in even greater numbers than we would normally have. So they are listening to us and listening for ideas. So when people pass them on to Ted or to me or anybody in the board, and then we're in a meeting with our Assemblymember Wood or Senator McGuire or Congressman Huffman, you know, we do pass it on. And I've seen him make Facebook posts that were first, I think, discussed in a meeting that I was a part of. So I think it does translate into the initiatives that they propose at the state and federal level.
Great. Well, I am going to come to an end to our hour. Thank you both so very much for being here and for being a part of the new normal radio hour. This is a new series on KZYX, and it is on how our rural economy can survive in the global pandemic. I'm your host, Mary Ann Petrillo, CEO of West Business Development Center. And again, I'd like to thank tonight's guests, Mendocino County Supervisors Ted Williams and Dan Jurdy, who make up the county's ad hoc committee on economic recovery. The new normal radio hour will air every other Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. throughout the summer here on KZYX, alternating with the renewable energy hour. Tune in for our next program on June 3rd, which we will be in discussion with new ways to dine and commune safely. Our guests will be Louise Dawson, regional restaurant specialist for Northern California, and local restaurant owner Stephanie Duncan, owner of Slam Dunk Pizza. You can find an archive of the show and all of our programming online at jukebox.kzyx.org or on our homepage at kzyx.org. Many thanks tonight to Allison DeGrassi for production support and to our engineer, Alicia Bales. Coming up next is Pulse of the Planet, followed by Radiogram with Jamie Roberts. I'm Mary Ann Petrillo. Thanks so much for listening tonight.